Hello and welcome to the Valley Church Duncan podcast. My name is Wes Lindy and I'm the lead pastor of Valley Church. I'm happy you've joined us today. If you'd like to continue getting our podcast, consider subscribing to our channel. For more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.thevalleychurch.ca. And now let's take you right into the sermon.
I'm going to start with a story as opposed to a question. Lately I've been doing questions, but I wanted to start with a story because I think it really depicts some of the tension that we all have. I'll just get into it. Okay. So a number of years ago, before Google Maps was a thing, okay, so that's, for some of you, that's before you were born, I understand. But for me, that wasn't that long ago, and I had this conversation with someone in our small group, and we were talking about maps. Now, before I continue, you need to understand that if you don't know me, I'm not an egotistical maniac who likes to have arguments. I veer away from arguments often. I don't like debating. I feel like I will always lose. That's my personality. But actually, I'm far from that, but it does show one of my failed moments, okay? The topic was, which country is the city of Cologne in? Now, don't shut it out before we finish here. With all my pride and geeking out on maps all my life, I insisted that it was Germany, and something within me couldn't let it go. So that was what was kind of going on inside of me. The other person insisted it was in France. Now, back and forth we went until eventually I found a printed map where Cologne, Germany was, and I went, and I said, see, this is where it was. I wasn't really that arrogant, but I was like, see, this is where it is. It's actually in Germany. And they're like, oh, okay. It was a mixed feeling of being right, but not feeling good about being right. Now, we're going to press pause for a second. This conversation was nearly 20 years ago. So as I was preparing for the sermon here today, you know what I found? There's actually two cities called Cologne, one in Germany, and can you guess where the other one was? Near Toulouse in France. So I guess we were both right. You know who you are if you are listening online later. I'm sorry for that. We were both right, and now I have to kind of realize that, yes, I'm not always right. Well, today in the Bible, as many preachers know far too well, we have to practice what we preach. Because we know that, as well as anybody, that we're not exempt from the scriptures that we see. We aren't above the Bible. We aren't also extra holy than any of you. We shouldn't presume that over people. That's actually a recipe for toxicity, disaster, and a pastor complex that's frankly not good for me or for you. I'm also not Jesus. He didn't break it to you. I'm just a people shepherd. I cannot replace Jesus for you, and that's important for you to understand. Only Jesus can be Jesus, amen? Good, we're clear on that. But we preachers need the Bible and Jesus' teachings to help us, just like anyone, including yourselves. Today is one of those passages. That's why I started with this story. It's that passage where we shouldn't judge others and try to point out something wrong when we have something in the same or worse in our lives that we actually need to address. So before we begin, we need to pray. Actually, I need to pray. So if you join me in praying, let's pray together. Jesus, we know that there are things that we do wrong. We think wrong. We say wrong things. And we can't always help it because it's in our nature to not be perfect. And we need you to correct that nature because we don't want it to hurt others or ourselves. Please show us the way today in how to live and love others well, just like you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so if you have a Bible and you want to turn with me or watch on the screen, that's fine. It's Luke chapter 6. 37 to 42. If you don't have a Bible, you can go pick one up in the lobby. There's one free. Doesn't have your name on it, but could have your name on it if you would like to take it home. I have to change it up once in a while. I say that every time. So I just wanted to kind of have some fun with it. Okay, so Luke chapter 6, 37 to 42. We're going to read the whole passage, and I'm going to kind of walk through this passage together. So let's read this. 6, 37 and following. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also said to them this parable, "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' but when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So this isn't revealing at all, hey? Not exposing anything. It's a pretty revealing passage, isn't it? Pretty clear in a lot of ways. That Jesus is telling people not to judge, and actually be careful when you judge, that there is more to it. The concept is this: don't judge or you will be judged. Now, we aren't making a comment here. Jesus isn't making a comment to ignore legal processes. They are there for a good reason. There is judgment that still is needed. Judgment isn't bad. In fact, we need good judgment so we don't do something really stupid after thinking it's something really smart. I've got plenty of stories like that. I could share all of them with you if I had time. Just ask me about my skateboard ramp story. I'll tell you later. But what Jesus is saying is, we shouldn't assume the right to criticize and condemn our neighbors, our brothers and sisters, because it'll come back to us. Like the cheesy saying, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, I just thought I would throw it in there in case, because it's a good visual, that if you're pointing the finger, there's actually three that are pointing back at you. I know it's cheesy, but it gives you the idea of, just remember, don't forget when you're pointing that there's three pointing back at you. To not judge others, because those who judge others invite the judgment of God upon themselves. I mean, that's pretty clear from the passage. Jesus is warning, just to make sure. But it also brings this idea of trepidation, doesn't it? That we really should think through when we may be quick to judge. This then is also tied into the concept, as we see in the passage, to forgiveness and generosity. It's a more favorable posture than judging. To be more postured, not so much of judging, but of forgiveness and generosity. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given. For example, it is the person with a forgiving attitude who is forgiven. So if you want to be forgiven yourself, have a forgiving attitude. A giving attitude, then it will be given to you. If you have that giving attitude, you can expect that you would hope that would come from someone else. We can expect that sometimes to come back to us. It doesn't always happen. It's not necessarily a cause and effect to say, I will be forgiving and you need to be forgiving. It's expected to come back to me. It's not necessarily that way, but it does have that feeling of what goes around comes around. Like if you have that posture, that's a better way to live than to say, I'm expecting things from you, or I'm judging you. It may not come, even ever, but it actually may come to you, and you can't expect it if everyone decides to follow Jesus. You should be having that feeling, especially in the church. This is the attitude and posture we are to have if we want to follow and obey Jesus. So in this part of the story, Jesus was speaking to the large crowds. The sermons, as we've talked about before, not just a sermon, it's likely it was more than one sermon on the Mount, as a shepherd, shepherding the people who needed direction. That's the context of what this looks like. And although not explicitly said here, it sums up all these things of judgment, forgiveness, and giving in this one idea. Jesus appeals to the attitude of love toward the other. And that's what we need to be focusing on through this passage. Jesus appeals to the attitude of love toward the other. But to solely focus on the act of saying, I'm just not going to be judgmental, is missing the point. This does not guarantee proper obedience or salvation, just to say, I'll just try not to be judging. But actually, more of what Jesus is wanting is this attitude of love. It is the heart behind the rule. I think we've heard that recently, haven't we? In our previous messages, there's all these rules that the religious leaders were pushing on Jesus and his followers, but he was appealing to, no, there's a heart behind the rule that actually is really important here that you're missing. You see, when people accept God's grace for them, maybe some of you, you know that it changes you. It changes us. It changes people when they accept God's grace. A forgiving spirit, for example, is evident that the person has been forgiven. That they know from their own failure that they've been forgiven, and so they exude that out because they've been forgiven themselves. So therefore, they start to have that capacity to be able to forgive others. If we can find a place in our heart to forgive, it'll be better for us and the other person. It keeps us soft-hearted and able for Jesus to mold and shape us to be more in his image. If we're too hard and we are too rigid, he can't do that. We've not allowed him to actually mold us and shape us into who he wants us to be. If we are quick to judge others, this causes an unnecessary division between us and others. If we're quick to judge and say, hey, but you shouldn't do that, that you can't do that, then, oh, I can't believe that they did that. That starts to make a division between us. And going on to verse 38, the amount of these things that we measure out by the amount of effort we put in is what Jesus is saying here. The more generous, for example, the more it will return to you. The more generous, the measure that you use. So the metaphor here is using, that Jesus is using, is a form of measuring out grain in such a way as to ensure that there's fair volume given. So that's what he's getting at here. And your lap, why did he use your lap? Well, your lap here is, in the original language, is really your bosom, and refers to a fold in the outer garment made as it overhung over your girdle. It was kind of like a pocket. So just like filling your pocket. So to understand the context, we get back what we put into life. We reap what we sow. And then it should really just start flowing. This is how we are to live, this attitude of loving the other, loving one another. And throughout Scripture we see that, loving one another. That's what Jesus wants for his people. And then Jesus also tells them this parable in the context of what we were all saying, what about the blind? And we're going to address this as well. Which is to point us to being good examples to others, but also a caution to choose good teachers to learn from. I think both and in this situation. To not waste time on people who are blind themselves. This is why, for example, it is so important, now hear me, it's so important to learn from people who are educated. People have done the work. People have invested their lives in teaching and understanding the Bible and really helping people, proclaiming the word and helping people to move forward in obedience with Jesus. Who know they aren't good enough themselves in their own wisdom and have done the time of learning and growing and humbling themselves to learn from others. For their own benefit, but also for the benefit of their ears, right? Right? That's good. And this is what we should look for in teachers and preachers. But what about those who say they've arrived? We all come across these people that say they're a preacher or teacher. It's good, it's a church. And they just say they have arrived and they no longer need teaching. These people are the point. So don't follow them. Some of us will come across them in YouTube channels and things like that, or podcasts, and they'll say, hey, I know it all, and I've done all the it, and this is, and I don't need to do any more. I just can tell you everything. Don't follow the people that say this, and this is my heart to you because I've seen it and I've heard it myself. It's simple. It's in the Bible, and we can know all things. And it could be a variation of that, but sometimes people will say that. This is dangerous and too simplistic for such a complex and ancient text that we're dealing with here. Not to mention that our God is way too big and way too mysterious to put in a box. And that's the majesty of who this God is that we come to listen to and to hear from and to allow to transform our lives. But this parable also speaks to how there is a responsibility on us, not just people in the office of a teacher, to make more disciples. Now, Matthew 20:19, we're going to put it up here. Matthew 20:19 just says this, and it's a really important passage for us. Often we quote it. It's part of the Great Commission. And it says this: "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.'" So in saying this, we can't be guides without knowing where we are going. As the saying goes, we can't go in blind. Otherwise, we lead people into destruction. We are to make disciples of all nations, all of us. So here's a thought. I kind of was trying to figure out, how do I make this so that we can kind of grab onto it a little bit more? Here's a thought. Some of us may think, oh, we aren't a leader, so I don't have to worry about leading someone astray. And maybe you think that. You think, oh, well, you know, I'm not Wes, or I'm not Christy, or I'm not one of the leaders here, so I don't have to really worry about this. But actually, as a follower of Jesus, you represent Jesus. You are a co-heir to his kingdom. You are a light. You are a light in this dark place. And have influence over others in your family, in your work, in your school, everywhere. Everywhere you go. To think clearly about it, none of us are exempt from having to be careful with this passage. Even if we don't consider ourselves a leader, we're leading in some way already. Female or male, we are co-heirs to his kingdom and influence to others. All who follow Jesus have the same amount of the Holy Spirit within them. That's pretty cool. That's a big responsibility. But that's what we talk about in our vision statement. We are a visible presence of Jesus in the Cowichan Valley. We, not Wes, not me, not just our staff, but we collectively and individually are that visible presence. At the very best, we are all part of the church, a body part of the body of Christ. With Jesus as the head, it is up to us to train ourselves and not be blind. Otherwise, we become like a hand that has lost all feeling or numb and leans over on a stovetop that's on high. And although you may not feel it, and may not realize it right away, the body feels it. And maybe infection will come in if it's not treated. Then we're all connected as the body of Christ. We have to be on guard against spiritual blindness and a lack of love. Yeah, this is the sign of spiritual blindness. One of the signs. It's really easy. It's easy to spot because of the lack of love. We cannot lay aside the command to love, believing that we are past that, or believing that we know that more than our teachers. Jesus then goes on to say in verse 41 with a humorous vein, rebuking hypocrisy here. Humility is checking ourselves first, to start with that standpoint before step pointing out others' faults. So I know I'm careful with when I use the word you. I even did it accidentally just now, if you caught it. But I'm very careful with you and we in sermons. I don't know if you've noticed that before, but I really try hard to make sure that I'm not just pointing first at people. I tend to use we to include myself, knowing that I need as much as anyone. And then I'll use you afterwards so that we now have a place to speak together about this, to allow me to help you to take your next steps, if that makes sense. But in this passage, the slight imperfection in other people is often more apparent to us than the large imperfection in our own lives. I don't know why that's the case, but sometimes it's just so quick to see it in others. Maybe I'm different. Maybe I'm not human. I don't know. No, I'm definitely human. I'm not an alien. But I feel like, I think we can understand, I'm so quick to judge others. Even when I think my heart is right, I'm still quick. Like, oh, yeah, well, but, and then the defensiveness just comes out. But we are often wrong, even though we hate to admit it. When I was wrong about cologne is a really good example. Cologne the city, not the perfume. We must be rigorous in examining ourselves before we engage in judgment. We should take it seriously. We should put a pause and say, ooh, step back. Just take a step back. Okay, where's my heart in this? Am I loving the other? Am I loving the other person? Am I too quick? Am I going in blind? Getting rid of the log in our own eyes is very important. To not put our fingers in the eye of our fellow believer, to remove that speck, especially when we can't see because of our sight and being inhibited. So there's lots of things we can kind of go through. We talked about a lot of different things that all kind of cinched in together in this passage today. But one thing comes clear, and we've already started saying it. And how you view yourselves affects others. If we're prideful, it puts a wall between us and others. It does. If we say, oh, you know what, I did wrong, but you did more wrong. That puts a divide. If we are humble, it allows us to open up arms and hearts to others, allowing us to love one another. Natural step would be give a hug, right? So give them a hug. To bring them in and to say, no, we are going to love one another. To not put up a fence and say, oh, but you did wrong, but that's worse than me. Instead, say, no, we've all done wrong, and we need love to rule. As we go back to the beginning of the sermon today, it was clear that how I viewed myself as a master of maps gets me into trouble. I've mentioned it recently, actually, so if you've listened to some of our previous messages, it's come up a couple times. Maybe I need to be paying more attention to this. But I like to think that I have an internal GPS, but actually I'm not a machine. I'm not ChatGPT. I'm not perfect. I'm actually human. We're all human, and that's what makes us unique. And that's what makes us need Jesus. It allows us to learn and grow. It allows us to adapt and change. It allows us to engage in emotions. However, as the blind lead the blind, if we forget that we can be judgmental, we fall into the pit of judgmentalism. If we forget or intentionally don't forgive, we fall into the pit of unforgiveness. And if we forget to give generously, even though we can, one of our core values, then we fall into a pit of stinginess. That's my word I wanted to use in contrast. What we put in, we get, whether good or bad. If we view ourselves as above the law, we end up sticking our finger in someone else's eye, but fail to see the plank in our own eye. But if we're careful, we strengthen our understanding. We become aware and not blind. We become fully aware. We can see it all. To the things that trap and hurt us, as well as others. Hebrews 12, 1-3 says this. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I love that passage. Let's throw it off. Let's take serious and be mindful of these things. To not be quick to judge, to remember what we've been saved from. It's not just what the other person is saved from and what we want them to change. But first say, what can change in me? What still, even after being years of following Jesus, after years of being in a church, today, what needs to change in me? What's in my heart that needs to change? You see, strengthening our understanding will save ourselves from harm, if we understand this better. To strengthen our understanding, we will save others from our harm. Because we're not above giving someone harm. All of us can and do. And also, we represent Jesus well. We make him visible wherever we are. Even in our frailty, even in our imperfection, the perfect one is proclaimed. So where are you at with all these things today? Just think about it. Is it time to admit some frailty? It's like, I think I'm more frail than I realize. I need to admit it to myself and to my God first. Maybe I need to admit it to somebody else. Because you've tried to portray this facade of being perfect. I have it all together, it's all good, it's all good. But actually, it just needs to be laid down and say, you know what, sometimes it's good, but sometimes it just is hard. And I'm not perfect. I sometimes don't know where Cologne, Germany is, or Cologne, France. Is it time to admit why things have been coming back to you with judgment due to judging others? I don't know where you guys are at. I'm not inside your brain right now, but maybe somebody here has been struck with that today. Maybe Jesus is calling some of us to some new awareness of ourselves. Or is it time to forgive? Sometimes as hard as it is, as unjust as it is that someone did something to you, but you know at some point, and maybe not today because you're still working through, but you need to work towards forgiveness of the other person. Is it time to give generously, not expecting anything back, but reaping the benefit of enjoying the kingdom of Jesus for doing so, by being just generous and say, I don't need this. I don't need this excess. Maybe I need a sacrifice for Jesus. There's a blessing in that sacrifice of giving something that needs to be given. I encourage you to think of these things because it will encourage you in your walk with Jesus. Anybody here, if you're not a believer in Jesus or if you are a believer in Jesus, you're here and hopefully because you want to know what it would look like to follow Jesus or to be encouraged and challenged to follow Jesus in a greater way. This will help us all be better Jesus followers. It'll help us to be better citizens of our couch and community. That's also important. That we would become Valley Church, better citizens of the couch and valley. And it will help our church be a place of healing, a place of hope, a spiritual hospital for all of us to enjoy together, to love one another, right? Do we want to do that? Do we want to be that church?
Yes.
I hope so. If I want it for myself, I want to give it to you. If you want it for yourselves, then we should give it to each other. That we would love one another, enjoy the presence of Jesus like we do when we come together. That's why we have Sunday gatherings, so we can enjoy this together and enjoy the presence of Jesus. Now, if you like prayer, something maybe really hit you hard today, and maybe you're not, haven't done this before, you've never asked for prayer, I encourage you just to try it, to take a step. Maybe there's something that you just need to admit and need someone else to hear. Just to unload the burden off your shoulders. Just to let it go. Have someone else pray for you. And feel that freedom that there is in Jesus. If you would like that, I've changed things a little bit. We were going to have our prayer people at the back today. So just over by the two benches, we're going to have the prayer people at the front. Just to be at the back. So it's not so much like you have to come and pronounce that you need prayer. But just go to the back and have someone pray for you. And I'll go to the back as well, and I'll be an extra person there if you need prayer. Because we want to help you. We want you to be unloaded from that burden and to know the freedom that you can have in Jesus today. Please take advantage of it. It's for you. And it's for us to love one another by doing so. Let's pray. I'm going to call the band up this time. Jesus, we ask you to show us, to guide us toward loving one another. For those of us here that have felt convicted for judging others, we pray for your mercy and grace as we ask for forgiveness from those we have wronged. We also forgive those who have wronged us, knowing that the plank, the log that's still in our eye is still there. Jesus, thank you for helping us. Thank you for showing us how we are to live in your upside-down kingdom. It sometimes doesn't make sense, but it's better. It's not what the world tells us, but it's a better way to live because it loves the other. To you be the power, the glory, and the majesty. You alone are worth it all, worth living for. We sing to you now in response. We call upon your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.